Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisor and senior editor for GoldEagle.com. And Christopher, it's always great having you on the show to get your technical and macro outlook on the precious metals sector. And I like how you have a healthy balance of both macro and technical, but you let the prices and the charting tell you what you see rather than you trying to bring all of your biases into that. And I think you're very candid when there's maybe something you'd like to see and that's not what's happening, and vice versa. Sometimes there's things that are in alignment with how our maybe bullish bias is, but you're just looking at it from strictly a chart perspective. So when we look at gold, let's start there, Christopher. The price action over the last couple of months, let's say the last 5 months or so, has been encouraging in that it was kind of in a danger zone. It had broken down that 1675, 1680 key support, triple bottomed around 1620, started ratcheting higher at the end of last year, carried through into January. But then there was a really bad February, and all the sentiment in the sector got bad again, even in early March. Now, in the last couple of weeks, with all the banking capitulation and implosion and some of these smaller regional banks, starting with Silicon Valley Bank and then rippling all the way out to earlier this week with Credit Suisse overseas, we've seen even a stronger safe haven bid come into the metals. But when you just peel all that away and you look at the price action of gold, it looks like it's knocking on heaven's door again, Christopher, trying to break out to a new all-time high and just can't get it done. What's your take on gold's attempt to keep trying to break out here above that 2000 level?
Shad, thank you so much for having me on, and hello to all the listeners. It's coming. It's coming. The break to new all-time highs in gold is coming. This is the message of the patterns that we are looking at going back over the last 3 years. The big picture analysis on gold in US dollars is that there was a false breakdown last August, September into October. The 1680 level, 1680, was a clear support level going back for the last 3 years. And it was violated briefly on a couple of occasions there. But something very different happened compared to what happened in 2013 when the market broke lower through its consolidation of the previous 2 years. What happened is that new buyers actually used that opportunity to scoop up bullion at a three-year low. So as opposed to seeing it, what we saw in 2013 when gold broke lower through its three-year consolidation following the 2011 peak, it plummeted by $240 in 2 trading days. I am not exaggerating that. I've gone through and looked at it with a fine-tooth comb. 2 trading days, you plummet in gold back in 2013. In this instance, new buyers stepped in. And so we call that a false breakdown, what happened in Q3, Q4 of last year. Following that, we've had the recovery just briefly eclipsing the 2000 mark here this week. Coming back today to 1940 as we are speaking, it is Tuesday, March 21st. However, you juxtapose the message of a false move lower, which tends to be the prelude to a sharply dramatic move in the opposite direction. And so, therefore, gold is still in this range that it's been in for the last 3 years, this consolidation ongoing. It is functionally, right now as we were speaking, functionally making its third attempt at the 2000 handle. You have resistance. The exact peak from 2020 and 2022 was $2,075 per ounce. But basically, functionally speaking, anything as gold is approaching the 2000 handle, which it just did yesterday, functionally speaking, that is the resistance zone. And so gold has just made its third attempt at the all-time high resistance zone. In my experience studying these markets for the last 15 years, third attempts, for whatever reason, are generally not successful. So we're seeing gold back off today. It's down about $60 from the 2000 peak hit yesterday. This is the third attempt that is happening right now in front of our eyes. And generally speaking, the back off following the third attempt is going to be shallow and short. It should not be all that significant. So I'm talking in the range of 1 to 3, perhaps 4 months, you know, leading into the spring, into perhaps the midsummer low, should be the bottom for the correction that is setting up now in gold. And following that, Shad, I'm looking at gold making new all-time highs as priced in US dollars, and we should be looking at gold prices moving their way well into the mid-2000 range.
Well, Christopher, I'm sure some of our listeners are going to be interested to hear that because it seems like it's been a long time coming, but it sounds like we still have to endure maybe another corrective move where we digest some of this recent move higher to build the energy to be able to move to that new high. But you had mentioned to me before we started recording that there were some other signals you were following that are giving you some encouragement that that is what's going to play through, in particular, how gold is performing against other foreign currencies, which usually preludes a higher move in the dollar. I'd love you to break that down for our audience.
Yeah, so let's look at some of the major gold FX cross pairs, gold and foreign currency cross pairs. Let's talk about the major currencies around the world here and just have a look at what is happening. So then we can say, hey, what are the chances of this actually unfolding for gold and US dollars? Let's talk about the one that actually is most significant in my mind. People might not think about it all the time, but it's gold and Japanese yen. Now, the Japanese yen had been trading in lockstep with gold prices from about 2011 through 2019. Very little movement in that cross pair. Functionally speaking, the Japanese yen was seen as being a safe haven currency along with the US dollar and let's say the Swiss franc. So anytime we see gold and Japanese yen doing something significant, it's telling me that if something is happening to this quote unquote safety currency, it's more than likely to happen to the next safety currency being the US dollar shortly. Gold and Japanese yen has just broken to a new all-time high, never before seen level in the history of planet Earth, 263,000 yen per ounce. The previous high was 256,000. So we're in a breakout scenario right now as we are speaking. It looks like the breakout is coming back to be retested, but we're going to have an official target of 278,000 yen per ounce just on this intermediate move alone, based on the amplitude of the preceding consolidation that is now breaking out. So new all-time high for gold in Japanese yen. Let's look at a couple others. Gold in British pounds. Literally last week, new all-time high. Never before seen in the history of planet Earth. Gold in British pounds hitting 1,650 pounds per ounce. Coming back, pulling back to retest that level right now as we're speaking, close to the 1600 level. But we're going to have an official calculation for gold in British pounds as far as targets go. The amplitude of the preceding consolidation for the last few years, we're going to add that on to the breakout point. It's a study of the measurement of how much pent-up energy, how much buying and selling, how much short selling, how much covering is going to need to happen now that gold in British pounds has broken out. And we're going to be talking about a figure approaching 1,900 British pounds per ounce for the intermediate move that is setting up. So that's a second new all-time high in a major currency cross pair that is happening right now in front of our eyes. Third one, gold in Australian dollars. Just last week, slicing through the all-time highs that were set 3 years prior in 2020. The former all-time high was 2,873, currently trading at 2,917. So new all-time highs happening in Australian dollars. We're going to have an official target for gold in Australian dollars approaching the $4,000 mark per ounce within the next 1 to 3 years. I would like to see this move be a slow and continuous move higher. It could be impulsive. We have to watch how this plays out. But we do have significantly higher targets for gold in Australian dollars. That's the third breakout. Gold in New Zealand dollars. Just last week and into the overnight session, Monday morning, just yesterday in Asia, new all-time high. This is the fourth one we've just talked about. The former all-time high for gold in New Zealand dollars was 3,104. We have just hit 3,216 as of yesterday. So almost $150 higher than the former level, $100 higher. And we're going to have a target once again approaching the 4,000 level for gold in New Zealand dollars over the next 1 to 2 years coming up. So that is four major FX cross pairs that have just hit new all-time highs. We then look at gold, for example, in euros. It is testing the all-time high. Not there quite yet. The euro has been slightly stronger than some of the currencies we just mentioned, but it's testing the all-time high now. It's bumping against it. Let's give it a few more months to continue that process of chipping away at the sellers. Gold in Canadian dollars, same scenario as the euro. It is testing it. It is chipping away the overhead resistance, 2,762, dating back for the last several years. So gold in Canadian dollars, needing perhaps several more months to continue chipping away. And last but not least, let's look at the major safety currency going back for the last several generations that had been functionally considered equivalent to gold. What are we talking about? The Swiss franc. Gold and Swiss francs, not yet a new all-time high. The former all-time high was 1925. We are now trading just below 1800. But again, it's that chipping away. This is the third attempt that it's making at those all-time highs. Let's give it a few more months to confirm that for gold in Swiss francs. You look at the message here, you got four major breakouts that have literally happened within the last week. You got three that are sort of knocking on heaven's door. That leaves gold in US dollars. I'm telling you, it's a question of when. It is no longer a question of if.
Yeah, it's just stunning to see gold making those kind of moves in other currencies and then having the amount of doubt that we see from North American investors and whether that's going to happen in the US dollar. But those kind of moves in other currencies almost always precede a move higher in dollar terms as well. Now, we get a lot of emails. We got a lot of comments, Christopher, about what about silver? Silver hasn't really moved to the same degree. Silver is not knocking on its all-time highs, not even halfway there yet. So when you look at silver in relation to gold, what are your thoughts, Christopher? What are your thoughts on silver?
Yeah, the big picture pattern for silver right now, if we want to go back to the 2020 lows, the coronavirus lows, which was actually the final low for the bear market, which began in 2011. You know, silver last peaked in 2011 at $50 per ounce. It did come down to 2015. It came down by about 78% or so. It hit $1,365 per ounce in 2015. I mean, psychologically speaking, that was the low in 2015, December of 2015. But nominally speaking, the final low actually occurred in 2020. It made a new nominal low in the panic of the coronavirus. So if we start our analysis with that low of the coronavirus, which was $11 and change, and then you look at the impulsive move, silver tripled from the low of the coronavirus into the $30 region in about 5 months in 2020. That's an impulsive type of move higher, a tripling in several months. Since that point, we've simply seen a very corrective structure here. These overlapping waves, you know, where silver drops from 30 down to 22, back to 30, back down to 21, back up to 26, back down to 19, back up to 25. These overlapping waves are very corrective, to use that term, in nature. So we have an impulsive move higher that happened after the 2020 bottom, and then a corrective structure following that. And the corrective structure has clearly been grinding, you know, in price nature, but also in the toll that it takes on investor psychology. But it is still corrective in nature. It's corrective of the prior impulse. And then you look at the analysis here of gold that is making new all-time highs in major world currencies, and several others are pending. The lesson from history is that every time gold makes a new all-time high in US dollar terms, which should be coming later this year, silver has never failed to match its former all-time high. It's never failed to do that when gold makes a new all-time high. So we look at this move that's setting up, and then you say, okay, there was an impulse out of the 2020 low. We've had 2.5 years of grinding consolidation. When gold breaks out, the message here of the silver market is that it is going to break out of this corrective consolidation that it's been in. And then we'll be looking, in technical terms, we'll be looking at a move, an impulse of a similar magnitude as the impulse that started out of the 2020 low. And that was a near nearly a $20 amplitude to that move out of the 2020 low. You add that onto the grind that's been happening here, gives an official target in the mid 40s, right around $45 per ounce is the official target. And I think that's close enough to the $50 mark that level hit in 2011, that functionally speaking, you're going to see basically the $50 mark act as sort of like a vacuum. It's going to suck silver up into that $50 region as gold breaks its all-time high in US dollars and starts advancing into the 2200s, 2300s, et cetera. So I would tell investors that this is not the time to throw in the towel on silver. When I look at the gold to silver ratio, it's doing exactly what it needs to do here to keep this bullish thesis alive. It's kind of rolling over here. It's rolling downward as we are talking, which is very strange when you think about what's happening in the global economy. These bank failures, you know, we've seen Silicon Valley Bank go under. We've seen Signature Bank go under. Credit Suisse is going under. Who knows what's going to be next? These are deflationary types of events. Yet we actually see the gold to silver ratio kind of consolidating and rolling over here to suggest that silver wants to start outperforming gold soon. That's a very inflationary scenario, what the gold to silver ratio is telling us. So to be seeing that amidst the deflationary bank failures is telling me that the bank failures are actually going to be contained in scope. Maybe there's a few more to come, but this is not going to be another 2008 type of event. It's going to be contained in one way or another. The central banks, probably through coordinated action, are going to step in and start printing money again. And that's why the gold to silver ratio is rolling over as we are speaking. And it's telling me that we're within several months here. I can't give you the exact date, but we're within several months of silver starting to significantly outperform gold to the upside.
Yeah, Christopher, it's just so interesting to look at silver because we hear it touted as an industrial metal. Some people even say it's no longer a precious metal. But to the point you made, it almost always will track gold. And if gold breaks out to a new high, silver is going to put on its dancing shoes, and it outperforms to the downside, but it also outperforms to the upside, and it'll have a big catch-up move. We see it happen almost every time, and it is strange that it would seem to indicate the gold-silver ratio is inflationary in an otherwise deflationary backdrop with all these banks, but it looks like the central banks have been pretty busy already backstopping things overseas and in the U.S. to try to make depositors whole and take away the risk from the bank, and we've seen them do kind of a 2008 style too big to fail on even the smaller banks. So I think it will be contained, which should be good for the macro setup. But the other question people have quite often on our show, Christopher, is what is going on with the mining stock valuations? Because while gold is up here getting pretty close to all-time highs, still at really attractive prices, and silver is still in the 20s, it's not like it's in the teens anymore. Why are the valuations in these mining stocks so low? What is going on with the mining stocks? It's almost like they're valued like gold is half the price it is. What is your take when you look at things either from a macro sense or a technical sense when you look at where the mining stocks are valued now compared to where they've been valued historically at similar price levels?
If there was ever an opportunity to have life-altering gains over the coming move in gold, the breakout to new all-time highs, which the analysis that we just discussed says that that is pending plus or minus several months from now. If there was ever an opportunity to really change your life, it is ahead of us, basically immediately within the next 12 to 18 months. I'm really serious about this. I think investors should do some deep thinking about themselves. Obviously, investors need to know themselves. They need to know what their risk tolerance is. Is it more appropriate to be holding more bullion, which will be safe in the long run? Do investors have a higher risk tolerance, more discretionary capital that they can look to really try to hit a home run? Because when you look at the entire field, the entire landscape in front of us right now, this is one of those moments where it's like the pitcher is on the mound and you can already see the pitch coming at us, and it's coming fast and it's coming straight down the middle. And if you know how to be a power hitter in this setup, which investors do, I believe, that are listening to this, this is one of those times that you want to take a swing. You can never fault yourself if the macro and the technicals align and you take a swing. At least you've tried. So we look at where the value is now. And if you're looking at bullion and you're looking, well, okay, so this move, let's say, takes us from maybe it bottoms here in this correction back down at 1800 up to the mid 2000s is going to be about a 25% move in bullion. That's nice, right? But unless you're sitting on millions and millions in bullion alone, that's probably not going to change the outlook of your life, having a 25% return in bullion. Silver starts to get more interesting if we're looking at a realistic possibility of silver getting back to that $50 level. That's a little bit more than a doubling from here, which is significant. But still, I think for those with discretionary capital who are really looking at this, I mean, these types of opportunities here don't come about every single year. It's been my observation that these types of opportunities come about every 5 years or so, every 5 to 10 years in this sector. I look at some of the companies that are at the development stage that have defined resources right now. I mean, exploration is fantastic, but for a minute, I want to talk about companies that are not pure exploration, but that actually have defined resources already in the ground. And some of these companies are trading still quite close to their 2015 and 2016 lows as far as the share price. We're talking companies that have been growing their resources over the last several years. Yes, there has been some dilution, and we hear that quite often. Well, you know, the companies have diluted their share structure by 20 or 30 or 50%. But you can't just say that in a vacuum, because if a company has issued 25% more shares, it's not like they've just burned that money doing nothing. If the company has gone out and expanded their resource by 20 or 30 or 40%, or they've made new claims in adjacent properties, or they've released a new PEA or pre-feasibility study, for example, then that company has actually advanced the deposit. And it's possible for that dilution to actually be accretive. In other words, for the underlying value to actually be more than it was previously before the new issuance of shares. So when I look at the development end of the spectrum, you have companies. I'm going to just give a couple names of companies that I am invested in personally. For full disclosure, I own shares in these companies. I have mentioned some of these names in the past to the people in Vancouver at the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference. These are not the only companies that I own. So I would not suggest that people put all of their money into companies like this. But I just want to give you a couple examples of companies that I am looking at that I am invested in personally. These companies are not paying me a dime to say this. I just want to give you examples for your own consideration to do your own due diligence. First company that I like right now that is at these levels is called Bravada Gold, BVA.V on the Venture Exchange. And Bravada is sitting on a deposit of 750,000 ounces of gold in measured and indicated, another 500,000 ounces of gold in the inferred deposit. They're located in Nevada, United States, politically safe jurisdiction. This is a past producing mine. The Wind Mountain formerly produced 300,000 ounces of gold back in the 80s and 90s, shut down. They've done additional studies. They've just come out with a new PEA showing a higher grade core for the mine. The company is trading right now at 5 cents per share, which is where it was trading back in 2015. In 2015, it moved from 5 to 40 within 6 months. This type of thing absolutely can happen again. This is one example of a company that I would suggest listeners to research more and then come to their own decisions. One other example, really quickly, companies that are in this stage, right? In the stage of defined resource in the ground. This is not hypothetical, yet the market has been overlooking simply because the speculative interest has not yet come back into this sector. The speculative interest is still happy to be investing in Tesla or Facebook or Nvidia or looking at random cryptocurrencies. But we've seen the psychology change in the past. It changed in 2016 in a major way, and it changed briefly in 2020 in a major way. And it tends to change when gold makes new all-time highs. So that's coming up. If you understand that's coming up, this kind of thing is cyclical. Second company that I would look very closely at, once again, I own shares in this company, but they are not paying me a dime to say this, is called Sirios Resources, SOI, on the venture exchange. Sirios is sitting on a 1.9 million ounce deposit in politically safe Quebec, Canada. That is 1.9 million ounces in the measured and indicated. You have Quebec government funds that are investors in this company. 45% of the company is owned by insiders and institutions, including the government of Quebec itself. So extremely safe. And they are, in fact, they're up in the James Bay region of Quebec, which has become a huge rush for lithium deposits. So even though this company is anchored by the 1.9 million ounce gold deposit, on their land, they're actually showing anomalous lithium intercepts and lithium values. And so what they're proposing to do is to launch an exploration program for lithium, even as they don't forget about the gold deposit. It's being advanced simultaneously, but it's like, why not capitalize on the rush that's going on up there in the James Bay region in Canada? By the way, a company trading at 7 cents per share, which is exactly the level it was trading at in 2015. And in 2015, when that psychology shifted in 2016, Sirios went from 7 cents up to $1.40. It was a 20x return. I'm not joking about this. You can look it up. It's back down at that level, even though the deposit has been advanced. As I said before, there are no guarantees in this market. You have to make sure that you have the risk tolerance to be looking at higher reward and higher risk plays. But when I look at companies like this that are in this category, I say this pitch is coming right down the middle now. It at least deserves your consideration as to whether or not you want to take a good hard swing here.
Well, Christopher, I appreciate you sharing some of those fat pitch opportunities with us in the mining sector and just your overall take on where things are at. I mean, I completely agree with the comments you made that a lot of these things are priced like it is 2015 again. They've gone all the way back down and made a round trip, even though the macro fundamentals for the metals are better than they have been. The metals prices are higher than they have been. And most of these companies have done a lot to de-risk their projects and build more value compared to where they were 5 to 10 years ago. So it's just amazing to see some of these valuations, but that is an opportunity for investors that want to take a few swings at these. It's always great having you on, Christopher, just to share your technical thoughts, your macro thoughts. And I look forward to these conversations each time, and I'm looking forward to our next one already. But thanks again for spending some of your time with us here at the KE Report.
Shad, thank you so much for having me, and all the best to all the listeners.